Hi, I'm Natalie Nowak, and you're listening to On My Way to a BFA. This podcast chronicles my experiences as I go through the process of getting my BFA in musical theater at the Hart School. My previous episode featured interviews with my two freshman year acting teachers, and I had so much fun talking to them. They had great insights on all things acting, so be sure to listen to that episode if you haven't already. This month's episode is extra special, not only because I have amazing guests, but also because it's the season finale. Since my school year wrapped up a few weeks ago, we're deciding to make this the end of season one, and I'm going to release a mini episode sometime over the summer hiatus, just wrapping up my freshman year. This month's episode has probably been my favorite to create thus far because I got to sit down with some of the cast members of Next to Normal at TheaterWorks in Hartford, Connecticut. I saw this production of Next to Normal for the first time about a week after it opened, and I remember after the show I went back to my dorm and I called my mom and I was crying because it just impacted me so much. This show now means so much to me, and I had never seen any production of Next to Normal before this, but if you look online, read the reviews, I mean, it's amazing. This particular production was extended twice because it was sold out literally every performance. And I went back to see it a second time before I did my interview with some of the cast members. And then after that, I went back to see it one last time because I couldn't leave Hartford and go back home to Chicago without seeing it one more time. I interviewed Maya Kelleher, John Cardoza, and Nick Sachs, who played Natalie, Gabe, and Henry, respectively, in this production, and I can't wait for you to hear our conversation. We talked a lot about their BFA programs, which you'll hear a lot more about in the actual interview. We also talked about what it's like for them to be successful actors right out of college and to be in this amazing production. So, without further ado, here's the interview.
Hi, I'm Maya Kelleher, and I'm playing Natalie.
Hi, I'm John Cardoza, and I play Gabe.
Hi, I'm Nick Sachs, and I'm playing Henry.
I could be perfect for you. I might be lazy, a loner, a bit of a stoner, it's true. But I might be perfect. I'll make myself perfect.
So I'm finishing up my freshman year at the Hart School, and Maya and John, you both went to Boston Conservatory together.
Correct.
And Nick, you went to Carnegie Mellon.
Yes.
And the three of you all graduated in the same year.
Yeah.
2016 grads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So before we talk about your BFA experiences, I wanted to talk about Next to Normal. So what was the audition process like for each of you for this show?
So I got an appointment through my agency. I'm with Abrams Artist Agency. And I think it was similar for all of us. So I went in probably like in November. I don't really remember.
Yeah,
it was in the fall for just like an initial audition with the casting agency. And then a few weeks later, I got a callback. And then for the callbacks, we went in and met with our director, Rob Ruggiero, and Adam Souza, the music director. So there's kind of almost like a screening process in that sense. And then there was like a few days of callbacks, and we heard a little bit later on about whether or not we got an offer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It was funny because Maya and I, we didn't know that we were both auditioning for the show, and so when she got the callback, she asked if she could stay in my apartment while she was in the city, and I was like, yeah, of course, like, what are you here for? And she's like, oh, it's just this, like, production Next to Normal. I was like, you're joking.
Oh my gosh.
So we just went to all the callbacks together.
Yep, and here you are.
And here we are.
No, same thing. I got an appointment through my agency. I actually was going in for Gabe originally, and I walked into the room, and I didn't do a single Gabe side. They said, actually, can you just do this? And I knew the material already just because I had done the work in school. Mm-hmm. And so sang the Henry sides and then came back a week later for callbacks. And that was that.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So I've seen the show twice and cool. I loved it. It's honestly like, I mean, I've seen Broadway shows and big productions and things, but the small scale productions are like what really interest me, and just the way you portray these characters, I mean, it really impacted me emotionally, which is why I came back. And so I'd like to know what aspects of your own personalities you see in your characters, or are you completely different from them?
I mean, I feel like Nick is pretty much like his character in a lot of ways, not to speak for him, but could you?
Yeah, no, me specifically, I think that there's not a whole lot of transformative acting going on stage. I believe that it is pretty, it's pretty, you know, it aligns with a lot of who I am, and but as most, you know, shows do, they bring out, they dramatize things, you know? Mm-hmm. It's nothing is actually as it is in real life. And it brings out different parts of me, I think. And I think that's a thing that, you know, we all can bring to the characters. You find out what is similar to you and what is dissimilar, and then bring out and highlight those sort of things.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I feel like, you know, Natalie's perfectionism, I definitely deal with that in my own life. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever felt as angry as her because, you know, my parents aren't dealing with such a deep issue. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the perfectionism has definitely been something that has enlightened me about myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I think my character, of course, is in an interesting situation. I don't know if that's something that I should discuss on the... I don't know if that's ruining it for anyone. so I won't go into... Okay. I won't elaborate. But I mean, so I did need to sort of figure out a way into him that sort of stepped away from myself. But I certainly... One thing that I can relate to is sort of... You know, when you graduate and when you are in the city, you are constantly fighting to be seen. And mm-hmm. so there's a certain sense of urgency that I can connect to that certainly helps drive me through the show. So, yeah, I mean, there are certainly moments and relationships that you can connect to even when the character might not necessarily feel quite so personal.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I like how you said that, like, even if it's not a part of your personality, you can take it from everyday experiences, like the hustle and bustle of auditioning and wanting something and going for it. Even if it's not you, you can take it from your life.
Yeah, because you're basically trying to figure out what these characters need and want from other people. And so, yeah, if you break it down to that basic human... thing, mm-hmm. then you can always kind of find some sort of connection to who you're being.
It gives you a starting point. It gives you a basis, and then you sort of grow from there. And of course, through the work that we've done with the cast and Christiane and Rob, our director, mm-hmm. it's been interesting to sort of see how he builds, and I've connected more and more with him as it's gone along.
Yeah. One thing about this show that fascinates me is that it's almost all the way sung through, which I love, but I think about your voices, because, you know, I'm a singer too, so I'm like, and I'm also a nerd about vocal health, so I love, like, so I want to know some of the things you do. Like, do you steam? Do you have any special, I don't know, pastilles, any of those things
Pepe-cow.
That you...
There's this ancient Chinese herbal blend of this honey kumquat that you get off Amazon, and it's called Pepe-cow, Pepe-qua. I don't know how you actually pronounce it. P-E-I-P-A-K-O-A. And it is this blend of weird, I don't want to say weird and sound judgmental, amazing herbs and honey, and you put a dry, it's like a cough syrup almost, but you put a syrup of it in your tea or something like that, mm-hmm. and it is this, like, this old woman who is a Broadway legend told me about it, like, forever ago, so it's like a weird secret, and apparently it's like a guy in our show, David, who plays Dan, he had heard of it, and it's this, basically, it rejuvenates. It's supposed to replenish your body of everything it's lost every day.
Okay,
so
wow.
it like hydrates your vocal cords. It controls heat in your body, and that's like a fun little thing that throws out there.
That's cool.
John and I, we steam together sometimes.
We have little steaming parties at the end of the day.
Not always, but like when it feels necessary.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
totally.
I mean, just making sure that everything is, you know, staying moisturized. And I mean, I do a lot of, I tend not to warm up vocally so much throughout the day because most of our shows are in the evening, and sort of just talking throughout the day, your voice naturally sort of gets to that point. But what I do like to do is a lot of, you know, tongue stretching and making sure that all of the musculature is relaxed and release as much tension as possible. So that way the rest of it is really just mental and making sure that, you know,
and
everything's loose.
I found that the show's actually challenging for me physically because of how she experiences drugs. Mm-hmm. So I'm finding a lot more tension in my body than I'm used to.
Yeah.
So stretching and rolling out and like using tennis balls on my shoulders and stuff has been a huge part of releasing my tension so that vocally I can be where I need to be. And just like I'm really finding that waking up every morning and going and just like being on the elliptical or the treadmill for 20 minutes just like gets things moving so I can breathe and kind of like move some phlegm around and loosen things up, and it's definitely been really helpful in like figuring out the longevity vocally.
Cool. So now that we talked about the show, I want to know more about your backgrounds. So could you please tell me where each of you are from?
I'm from Columbia, Connecticut, so I'm like 30 minutes from Hartford, so really close by.
Cool.
I'm like home right now, which is great.
I'm from East Taunton, Massachusetts, which is about 30 to 40 minutes south of Boston.
I am from Jacksonville Beach, Florida, which is about 18 hours south of here.
So when you were deciding on your BFA programs, did your location of where you lived, like, did that influence that at all? Did you want to get as far away from home as possible? Did you want to stay in Boston?
The location didn't matter at all. In choosing my BFA program, it was more about, like, finding the school that had the curriculum that aligned with what I wanted to do.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think I didn't know that you could major in musical theater until I was, you know, entering high school, and a friend of mine was going to the conservatory for composition. And he knew that I was interested in this, and he's like, you should come check out the school. And I just remember the first time I walked around that campus, and, like, I mean, you hear music coming from all of the, the windows and buildings, and people are just, it's like such a creative environment that I never forgot that first time walking around. And so I knew that was where I wanted to be. And of course, I loved the city growing up, you know, being so close to Boston.
I felt the exact same, like the way you just described the conservatory, I felt the exact same way when I visited. But I also knew that I wanted to kind of stay in the New England area, and adding New York to that spectrum because I wanted to be closer to my family.
Yeah.
That was like a big thing for me, but yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So when you hear that I'm finishing up my freshman year in a BFA program, what, I already see you guys smiling, what memories does that conjure up for you from your interesting experiences in college?
First of all, congratulations.
I know, congratulations. I just remember freshman year being like, it felt like I was at this amazing musical theater camp. And it was like, I learned so much about myself, and I was like finally doing everything I wanted to do. It was like a dream. I was so elated at the end of my freshman year. So I can only imagine what you're feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was the first time, having no connection to, like, you know, performing arts high schools or anything. So I really didn't have, it was my first exposure to people who had devoted their life to this. And so it was cool to meet people who were, you know, so talented and so driven and inspired. Yeah. And so I will, you know, it was just a springboard for the rest of my education there.
I miss it.
I do miss it. I do.
Naked. Bare. I'd say is how I felt by the end of my freshman year.
Okay.
They have this really interesting mentality of, like, stripping you down to build you back up, and like freshman year is very much about, like, creating this blank canvas to,
like,
then
breaking bad habits.
I mean, because everyone comes in with their natural habits, like just things that are innately who they are, and then becoming capable of identifying what those mannerisms, what those habits are, and then being able to say, this is who I am, so now I can start to imagine myself as another person. So as, like, in terms of a character or stuff like that. So a lot of our freshman year was very, very basic. We don't perform until our junior year. The first 2 years, but specifically freshman year, was like, freshman year is by far, I think, up until when you start doing shows junior year, is like the most challenging year for us. It's when the most kids leave. It's when you decide whether, like, this is something that you're going to commit to. But then also simultaneously, to piggyback on what John was saying, like, it's also what brought our class together, because it wasn't sort of this thing where we were, like, out at each other. It was more like it was a very, like, supportive thing. We all knew we were all going through the same thing together. We all knew how the sleepless nights, and, like, and helping each other find different scenes and monologues, and, you know, creating these. I mean, but I have to say that they're pushing each other, but I really, the one thing that we didn't have was competition freshman year. The school was really the thing that was what we had to work for then, and that it created then this, planted this beautiful seed of our friendships then throughout the next 4 years, where, like, it did, freshman year is what was the glue that sort of stuck us together, I'd say.
Totally.
But end of freshman year, I was pretty confused.
In a good way, I'm assuming?
No, in a great way, but just in a very, like, what just happened?
Yeah, and it's such a unique experience that, like, I think other majors, like, other people who are majoring in other things might not understand, like, well, why do you have to stay up until 2 a.m. to memorize this monologue? Or, like, why do you have to do this? But it, like you said, I think it really bonds people, and then you create, you know, lifelong friends, which is great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So do you think that your school's had a primary focus, like singing, acting, dancing, or was it all three?
Ours is, I would say, pretty even spread. I know that the program is very well known for its dance division within the musical theater department. It's really extensive should you choose to focus on it. But I mean, I certainly would not, you know, that is not in exchange for any sort of lack in another area. When you reach your senior year in our program, you're allowed to choose an emphasis. And so I did three. I did an acting emphasis, a dance emphasis, an emphasis in repertoire, and okay. sort of building your book. And so, I mean, there's no weak link in the faculty. It's such a strong program. Yeah,
and I mean, you have to take. There are, like, very strict dance requirements that you can't really get around. Mm-hmm. So that's a big, I mean, and acting as well. But they also, they do recognize that some people are more actor-singers than yeah. they are, you know, dancer-singers and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So they are very aware of the fact that you can still put time into the thing that you're not maybe as good at, mm-hmm. but you're also, you don't have to define yourself yes. too much as one thing. It's a flexible but open
I think something that the conservatory's faculty really, really excels at is, you know, like Maya was saying, if there's somebody who might be more of an actor-singer, they find a way to make you the best actor-singer who dances that you can be.
Okay. Yeah. So they take what you're good at and kind of foster
and
that
like, how can we make you the most, of, you know?
Yeah.
If you want to be challenged, they will challenge you, you mm-hmm. know? They'll help you find the way to make everything more. That was an awful sentence, but I think you know what I mean.
We definitely focused on acting more than anything else. It was definitely an acting program that did singing and dancing, and it was definitely acting, singing, dancing. My sophomore year, they even got rid of the dance part of the audition, so they don't even screen you for dancing anymore. Because honestly, to Judy and Jim, our two lovely dance, and Tomei, our three lovely dance faculty, they honestly made anyone dance. Like, it was really impressive, the non-dancers that would come in and their capability to move by the end of it. But it was definitely a program that focused on acting, the acting tools, the fundamental of it, and sort of their mentality behind it was, you know, your legs can go and your voice can go, but you can act forever. Mm-hmm. And so we want to give you the longevity of hopefully having an everlasting career to where when you're 95, you can't kick your face anymore or sing too right. well, especially after all those long nights.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, that you'll still be able to remember the fundamental tools of acting and
yeah.
such. Yeah, and but like this, like it wasn't actually no, it really was acting focused, and we did have musical classes, and we had musical theater, a special set of curriculum. But even still, the acting and the musical theater programs were so intertwined with each other. Like mm-hmm. we were a company all together, and then there was X amount of MTs and X amount of actors. But we did all our shows together. We had the same core curriculum. The only difference was where the actors would have to take more outside school of drama classes.
Okay.
We would take musical theater classes.
Okay.
And such like that until about third year. So yeah, I would say that our school definitely focused on acting.
Nice.
I think something that needs to be said about any program is that if your program is what you as an individual student, it's whatever you make of it. If mm-hmm. you want your program to be, you know, mostly focused on your acting training, then whatever class you're in, whether you're in a dance class, a voice lesson, or wherever you are, you focus on the fact that you are telling a story, you're continuing to act through dance, mm-hmm. through song, through whatever it is that you're working on. And so wherever you choose to focus all of your attention, that's where you're going to see the most growth. And so,
yeah.
I mean, it's...
Definitely. But also, when you are looking for a program and you are looking at conservatories, the one thing I would say to look at is the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing, like, how much dance am I getting? Like, if you're somebody... We had kids who switched from MT to acting because they purely didn't want to dance anymore.
Right.
And, like, it was simple things like that. And I know that I chose the school I chose because I didn't want extraneous amounts of music classes and dance class. Like, I wanted
an
acting program that does the other things. And,
right.
like, I know for other people, it was very different. Like, some people really wanted a strong set of gen ed classes along with mm-hmm. what they were taking and wanted to focus a lot on, you know, one of the three and went to a school that was really heavy in dance, you know,
yeah.
or really heavy in that. So if people who are listening are thinking about where you want to go to school, I would say definitely look at a school's curriculum and like
yes.
definitely see what school aligns with what you want to do.
Yeah, totally.
At 18.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know what you want to do, but I think you can have like a general direction of where you want to go, and then, like you said, you can tailor your program to what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have any end of semester evaluations or anything like that in your programs? Like, ours are called juries, and mine are in 2 days, so if you have any advice,
Taylor.
That would be lovely, because I'm freaking out. But did you have anything where you'd like go and sing or and do a monologue?
We did have juries.
We had vocal juries.
We had vocal juries. Mm-hmm. And we had, I think, I'm not sure if it's still a thing. Do they still any promotionals at the end of sophomore year?
No.
Yeah, while we were there, there was sort of like a heightened jury at the end of our sophomore year called a promotional, which was essentially, gauging whether or not the faculty thinks that this is the path for you, but I think that's
been... I don't think we're doing that anymore.
But
we do a lot of... the conservatory does a lot of, let's sit down and talk about where you're at, so that it can be an open discussion with your teachers.
Nice.
So it's not just like, oh, look, we gave you a grade and there's some comments, but like, let's talk about this. Let's see where you're at, as opposed to where we think you're at, and figure out what's working and what isn't. So I always found that really helpful, and I think that's kind of like... a jury-ish vibe. Mm-hmm. But when it came to like vocal juries, I mean, you know, just go in there. If you're prepared, you're going to do great. Yeah. You know, that's really all it comes down to. And I think that goes for auditioning too. If you're prepared and you're ready to go in, that's like, you
got it. That's sort of what juries are meant to replicate, is that whole feeling of like adding. We did juries too. We have voice juries, and they'd go in with five songs, and then the vocal faculty would pick two, and then you'd sing two of those five. And then we also did conferences. We'd have conferences at the end of each semester where you'd sit, and it was the infamous table, and if you're at the end of the list, you might be getting kicked out. It was very stressful.
Conferences were scary, the thing where
like you sit down and it's with all your teachers, and
you know, and on that note, I just want to say, like, when people are looking for schools, you know, you can find a program that's a cut program or not a cut program. And you really need to decide what kind of environment you want to be in. Because if you're the person who thrives on competition and knowing that, like, you know, it's intense and you don't know what's going to happen, great. Go for a cut program.
What
See
are
how
the
that
cut
works
programs?
For you. I don't know off the top of my head. But if
most schools have gotten rid of them.
But what I'm trying to say is, if you're not that kind of person, like if you need to thrive on feedback and knowing that you're going to get through these 4 years before you make a decision about your life, then really don't do that. Don't put that pressure on you.
There
you
are
can
programs out there for you.
You can succeed in any program you go to. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know?
I think something that Maya touched on that I want to elaborate on is that these conversations that we have with our teachers sometimes give birth to some really wonderful creative paths. I've seen students create their own emphasis, create their own, you know, people who decide that songwriting is for them, playwriting, people
producing,
directing,
and so there are so many other avenues. Just because you might discover within your first few years, your first few months, your first few days at this program that acting, singing, dancing is not what you want to do, but there are other avenues for you to take within the industry and within the program.
Same with and same exact thing. We are not a cut program. I didn't mean to say like that. They ask kids to sometimes they ask them to reevaluate your life, make sure this is what you want to do, and you can take time off and come back and join the company below you. Or we've had kids also have gone off to like say they want to just produce, or they want to like they want to go and be an industrial technology artists or something and like bridge two schools. Like that's the purpose of college, is to figure out like to make sure like this 4 years is like a huge ramp up to make sure this is what you want to do with your life. And now's the time. Those are the 4 years to sort of start that process.
And so even with juries, like if it doesn't go well, that's okay, because you're gonna learn something from it. You're gonna learn, okay, this isn't what I want to do, or okay, maybe I need to figure something out so this goes better next time, or like, oh, this is exactly where my weakness is, and that's what I need to pull through. So
that's exactly what school is for.
What it's for. It's so so much trial and error, especially in this business.
Definitely.
And you're gonna fail oodles of times. It's just gonna happen.
Is there anything that you wish you could have done differently if you could go back and do those 4 years over?
No.
Nick is saying no.
Yes and no. I think something that I latched onto, it's not that I regret it by any means, but I think if I could go back and do it again, I would wish that I had had this discovery earlier on in my process. I think junior and senior year was when I really started to connect to the fact that I have so many resources while I'm at school that I am not going to have when I leave.
Okay.
That I wish I had used more in my first two
That's
years.
That's a big one.
You have free studio space. You have libraries full of sheet music and teachers who are willing to respond to you at any hour of the day to give you help and guidance. And you know, you're surrounded by these wonderful peers who are pushing you to be better and better and better. And so to not use those resources is really a disservice to yourself and to your growth, because it's really it's a bit jarring when you leave that all of a sudden you have to pay $30 for 30 minutes in a studio. It's, you know, so use it while you have it, truly, truly, truly. And if there is a certain field or area of your major that you want to improve in, you know, find ways to, you know, use what you have.
And that meal plan.
I was pretty shy. It took my 4 years to get me out of my big mm-hmm. shell that I had created.
Yeah.
And, like, I still succeeded in many ways and I failed in many ways, but I wish I had asked more questions and reached out to my teachers at times a bit more and really mm-hmm. asked for what I needed. So in a lot of ways, I wish at certain moments I had, like, fully taken control of my education.
Okay.
Instead of, like, seeking the approval, just finding it myself. But that's part of why you go to school, to, like, figure yeah. that out. But I think, yeah, I mean, you can always ask questions. It's always okay to ask questions and ask for more of what you need. And mm-hmm. I think I would try to tell myself that as a freshman again, if I could.
Yeah, no, that's great advice, because it never hurts to ask.
Exactly.
Right. And even if you're asking for a favor or something, the worst someone can say is no.
No, and then you're like, great, I'll ask someone else.
That's okay. Totally, yeah. So I'm sure that you all dreamt of what it would be like to be in a successful production like this. Is the dream far from the reality, or is it kind of what you thought it would be like?
Less roses and champagne than I imagined. I thought
really?
There'd be more roses and champagne.
That's weird.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, I'm on cloud nine. I feel like I've made it. Like, I'm mm-hmm. just so happy doing this. And like you said, you're interested in smaller things like this.
Yeah.
I think, like, this has been a great reminder to me that you can do great theater everywhere.
Totally.
You know, we talked to a bunch of, like, alumni our senior year, and they're like, some of the best things I've been a part of, I feel like, have been in our black box theater mm-hmm. in this school, you know? Like, just because you're in a Broadway production or, like, this huge production with all these bells and whistles mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be fulfilled artistically. Yes. Like, you can be.
I mean, but that would definitely be, like, I think I should clarify, like, I think that smaller things like this emotionally speak to me more because smaller venue, you can really see all of your emotions.
Totally.
I mean, would I love to be on Broadway? Of course.
We all would.
But it's important to know that you can be, like you said, you can be fulfilled doing this.
Yeah.
There is no end goal. You know what I mean? It's like, you can do this and have that fulfillment that you could have on Broadway.
And like, I don't know, I feel like I'm on Broadway right now because I'm so happy that I get to do this role every night with this amazing group of people. Like, you know, anything can be your Broadway is essentially my answer. And that's like kind of how I feel here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. That's awesome. Yeah.
Just discovering that success is relative it's a big adjustment once you leave school because there are always going to be those people who it's their time and it works for them and there they are in New York and they're doing their thing and it's hard not to take notice of that and be like, is that where I'm supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
But then you have an experience like this where you come here and it's seemingly this, like, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to do a regional production of this and then it'll close and that'll be it. But this has been such a profound experience, I think, for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
They've put together such a wonderful group of people, not only on stage, but the people that you see behind the scenes and the people from, I've never been part of such a tight-knit company of people from the marketing department to the people in the box office. You come in, it's such a family environment and we all care so much about what it is that we're doing. And we have audiences who are speaking to us at the end of the show and asking us questions and engaging in conversation about not only the show but about the subject matter and opening up to us. And so the fact that we are, you know, getting to be a part of someone else's experiences, that's in itself is a success. And so this has been a really eye-opening and wonderful experience here.
And do you think that is why this production specifically is so successful? Because of, obviously, the direction and the wonderful people working on it, but why do you think it speaks to so many people?
I think someone who came a few weeks ago said, you can tell that something very special is happening and it seems like you're all aware of it. And I think that, and they don't mean that in a sort of like egotistical way of like, you know that you guys are amazing or whatnot,
right.
But what he's saying is that it's clear that you care about this story that you're telling and it's so much more than, you know, getting the standing ovation at the end of the show.
Yeah.
It's we're telling the story about these characters that we've grown to care about, and we know that there are people in the audience who are connected to this material in a very personal way, and the fact that they're willing to share that with us that's what makes it really special.
And I think we knew really early on because we had our first read-through, sing-through with, like, just with stands in a studio, and we all were just really connected with one another. And I think that's also, like, just how connected we feel to one another has been a huge part of this world that we've created here. And so, you know, that day has always been a reminder to me that this story is powerful even without the set, you know, the pit and all those things. And as much as that, like, creates such a wonderful, wonderful experience, at the root of it, those connections we have with each other has made this really special.
Yeah.
You know, we could go anywhere and do it, and I think we would
still
feel
that.
Something and yeah. have a connection to the audience and a response in some way.
Yeah.
Piggybacking onto that, you know, it's just, I think it's this energy that we create with each other, and like that it is, you know, there's a deep sense of play every night on stage, and like there's a... You have a group of people who understand a story very well. You know, I think it's a lot of the components. I mean, I do think that we could do this story anywhere, but I also think it's this nest that is that is this theater where people feel sort of coddled almost in the audience, and literally the aesthetic distance is brought as close as you could without putting them on stage, and it really is like I think this bubble that is sort of very cared after, and throughout the 2.5 hour journey that an audience member experiences, there's just care given on every at every angle, mm-hmm. and so it creates this, you know, special experience.
Yeah, and especially with the turntable, it really like I remember I walked in the first time I saw it, I was like, huh, how are they gonna do this? Where are these things gonna move? And then the stage started going, I was like, okay, we're good.
We got this.
Yeah.
I love that. That's awesome.
So a couple of final questions. What are each of your dream roles?
So that when you play them, I can say that you said them on here first. So, want to make record.
Just let me know. What are they?
I don't even know.
I feel like it changes all the time.
It does. Honestly, this was a dream role for me.
Me as well, yeah.
Like, I really wanted to play Natalie in Next to Normal. I feel like it's so hard because I think a dream role for me and for a lot of people is to originate a role because that's your thing. You know, you've been able to, like, craft this person from top to bottom.
Yeah.
I don't know specifically because I feel like you never know what's coming next, right? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You have one.
No,
see it in your eyes.
I do not. Okay. Mine's the same answer. I'd rather create it. I don't know what it is yet. It'll happen to me. That'll be my dream role.
Hey, you gotta manifest it. Right?
Yeah, you gotta manifest it. Absolutely.
I think that I do. I mean, there's certainly always like, I feel like every time I see a show, I'm like, oh man, I want
Yeah.
So it changes all the time, but I agree. I mean, I've been a part of original shows before, and watching I was covering a couple months ago, and so watching that process take place, I was like, wow, this is really incredible what they're doing, and I would love to have the opportunity to be even more of a part of that in the future sometime. Yeah.
So what is next for all of you? Do you have anything lined up, or just back to the grind, back to auditioning?
The eternal question.
Isn't that the question? That, once you graduate from school, that is always the question for yourself, from others.
It's a scary question.
That's always the question. I mean, really, what's next is auditioning, right? That's what's next, I would say. I don't have anything specific on the horizon.
Auditioning never ends, and part of your job is to audition, and also knowing that as long as you're, you know, grinding and you're doing everything that you can, like, you're going to be okay. A role is going to come along for you. You just have to keep pushing, and every failure is one step in the right direction, you know? And sometimes it's harder at sometimes than others give into that, but the less pressure you apply to yourself or to any individual audition, the better you're gonna do for yourself.
Definitely took me like a year to figure that out, I would say. Christiane Knoll, who's playing Diana.
Who's amazing. She's
incredible.
Yeah. Wow. She had me watch this video the other day before I went in for an audition on her day off. It was Bryan Cranston giving advice to actors. And it was like a minute long, and it just put everything into perspective for me because he talked about how, you know, when you're going in for an audition, you're not going in for a job. You're going in to present your version of this character in that space to these people. Because if you go in with the mindset that you have to get this job, you create some sort of desperation. You create something that it's not about the art anymore. It's just like, I need to get paid, right? Mm. And so when you go in with this aspect of, I'm doing a performance right now, this is my work, and my job is to show you my work, then it alleviates that kind of pressure. And he said he started getting more jobs and booking more things as soon as he figured that out for himself. Mm. Yeah. And I think that's what's next for us, right? Doing that.
Yeah.
That's our job.
For sitting down with me and doing this today.
Thank
really
you.
Means a lot to me. And congratulations on an awesome run of Next to Normal.
feel like we should take a selfie.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of On My Way to a BFA. As I said before, I'm going to release one mini episode over the summer, which will include some stories about my juries, what it felt like to see our seniors graduate, some little tidbits about the crew assignments that I worked on, and much more. So make sure you're following me on Twitter at Natalie_Nowak, and also follow Broadway Radio for updates and tweet me with any feedback or questions. I just want to give a huge shout out to Matt Tamanini and James Marino from Broadway Radio for helping make this podcast happen. We came up with the idea for it almost a year ago. Can't believe it's been that long already. And we've just been creating it and piecing it together since then. And it's been an amazing project for me to work on. I have so much fun creating these episodes and talking to all my guests. And I hope to only build on what we've already created. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for supporting. It means the world to me.